The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Desis. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
How y'all doing today? We are here to talk about our episode that we had with Anshika Bagla. Super dope to have someone young on our podcast. I think it was really fascinating to talk to somebody, not only that she was that young. I'm just diving right in, man. Someone that young, but also somebody that's from such a unique experience from a South Asian standpoint.
Yeah.
Growing up in an area that was predominantly South Asian, and how... And you summed it up pretty well in the middle or late part of that, where...
You know, I'd be summating.
That's true. Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot that was a big part of that interview. Where she... you were saying that most people are like, wow, I'm getting out of where I grew up. Now I can find South Asians. And she, growing up with around so much South Asians, and now she's going to college, and she can say, oh, where are the other people at?
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting... standpoint, and I think it does have an impact on the way that she saw a lot of things. And I think it would be, I would like to talk to more young people to see if maybe they're in line, because the way she was describing it, a lot of the stuff that we talk about just doesn't really matter, truthfully.
Yep.
Which is
it's bittersweet.
It's interesting to, yeah, I had a complicated reaction to that, because at some point I'm like, great, you know, that's beautiful. But at the same time, I don't know, it just was...
They don't really identify as Indian like that, and that's kind of sad.
Well, they identify with it in a very different way than we do, which, you know... I was thinking about this, though, because, I mean, you know, as you all know, I'm still in Canada, and I will be for the rest of the year, so just assume I'm in Canada from now on. I was walking down the street, and I'm highlighting my own ignorance and my own prejudice right now, so
I'm aware of that. Just get into it.
I'm walking down the street, and there was these two East Asian women walking by, and they walked by, and they were in... regular dress, nothing extravagant and nothing exotic, you know. But when they started speaking and they sounded so American, it was a little, there was a moment of like, what? Oh. And I know that sounds crazy, but the more I think about it, it's like these things that we used to give so much meaning to, color of skin, cultural, like, cultural identifiers, like, you know, maybe the clothes you're wearing or this, really have no impact, because everyone's moving around the world so much that it's like, maybe we really are just becoming one global culture. Maybe we really are.
I mean, you're also talking about people who aren't like, they weren't like coming straight from Korea in Canada for 3 days. You know what I mean? And
right.
You're also in Canada. You weren't in like
No, but
a
what I'm saying
place.
Is that like it used to be, I understand, like back like hundreds of years ago, if you saw someone from that land, they had just gotten off. Like, you know what? You were either there with them because people couldn't travel. I mean, I'm saying basically.
Here's what I would say too. My problem is not everyone coming together and making one culture. It's that I think we end up losing a lot of stuff that we value because we're not the dominant culture. Western culture is dominant. So I think we end up losing stuff that matters to me growing up, at least.
No, I guess I'm trying to speak to... Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's
like the melting pot idea is cool, but
that's not what I'm talking
about. A small part of the melting pot.
But hold on, that's not what I'm saying for a second, though. My point is that, like, ultimately who we are is less a product of culture than maybe we give credit for. That's what I'm wondering. That's my thing that I'm thinking about at this moment. Like, how important is culture, really? If we're really defining who we are as a person.
Isn't it super? I mean, because you would define culture as everything, right? Like, American culture isn't just, it's everything. It's the food. It's the way we talk to each other. It's please, thank you, holding doors. All of that is defined by culture. Culture is so all-encompassing.
I don't know, though. And maybe that's a good question. Maybe that's a good question to keep exploring is, like, what is culture? Because I think that for me, when I think about, I don't know that a lot of things that, there was an article actually that just came out that our morality is makes up more of who we are than our memories, right? And morality, I wonder, is morality the same thing as culture? Because please, thank you, etiquette and that kind of stuff, I don't know if that's just culture. I don't know if it's just culture. It's a part of culture, but I think it's something bigger than that also, right?
I don't know, Doug. This just got very heady. And when we start really parsing through words like that, I'm just like, listen, man.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't know. I mean, it's just a question of, like, sometimes, like, this stuff at the end of the day, who we are. I mean, we're talking about identity at the end of the day, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about on this podcast a lot of the time. That's just something I think about, you know? I don't really have the answer, obviously. I mean, it just was something that it kind of triggered from Anchika's, the way that she was thinking about identity in such a drastically different way than I do. And she's literally 10 years younger than me. She's not much younger than me. And she grew up in basically the same situation I did. She's a first generation kid, just like I am, you know? But the way she identifies and the way she thinks about identity is just so drastically different. I don't know. I just sometimes wonder about the divisiveness of the salad bowl as well, right? Because that's your ideal. When you think about your ideal, it's the salad bowl, correct? Not the melting pot.
I prefer it to the melting pot, but I don't know if it's the ideal.
Oh, that's a good point. I wonder if you would have an ideal or not really.
I don't know. Maybe it'd be somewhere in between. Like I said, we never sat talking. We got the answer, so I don't know what I think would be the best necessarily, but I don't know. I just think the melting pot, we lose us.
Right. No, and I think that that's definitely an issue. Anyway, that was my big thing. I would love to hear people's thoughts on that.
And if anybody wants to explain to me what the fuck just happened, please let me know. For 7 minutes, I've just been hearing words that I didn't understand. So if anybody wants to
Front like you didn't understand what I was talking about.
If anybody wants to break that down for me, holler. You know what I mean? My personal email, so Arjun doesn't know that I was that confused.
Anyway, was there anything else about Anchika's interview? Like the
you
interview
know what? This is going to sound or whatever, but it's honestly what I expected. It was a great interview, and I would love to keep talking to kids. But it was like I kept saying, like, you know, being on MTV, you just see these kids. They're the ones that talk to you. They're the ones that watch your shows. So it never seemed to matter.
Yeah, you're definitely more in touch with that community than I am.
Yeah, and it just, the more, like, when I would see these tweets or whatever, I would just be like, wow, these kids really don't seem to care. Like, in a way that's actually probably the ideal. Like, I think they notice it. I don't think they're afraid to talk about it. I think, like, college kids are probably, but, like, a 14, 15-year-old, it's the same way, like, one of my, like, Andrew Schultz, good friend of mine, comedian, doing a lot of stuff. He's born and raised in Manhattan. So he just, his whole life, has seen every other race, everybody. And he does not care. He will talk about the fact that I'm Indian. He will make jokes about the fact that I'm Indian. But when I really get down to it, he's the least racist guy I know. And part of that is that he's never afraid to bring it up. I think that's how kids are going to be, if they're not already like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, the only thing that was interesting that I would love to, I mean, I would love to talk to them selfishly because, like, I haven't had as much experience with that community, that younger generation. So I think it'd be really fun because I'm curious to talk to somebody that's also, like, grew up, you know, in like the South now. You know what I mean? I'd love to talk to somebody that grew up in, like,
and my guess is that it's still going to be a little different, but not that much because the internet opened up everything.
I mean, the internet really has done a lot from that standpoint. I mean, because and here's what I was going to say is actually, so she was talking about Bharatanatyam being a choice, like it was her choice to do that, which I thought was beautiful.
Right.
But what she said before that, she was walking through a cultural center with her mom, and she saw it. And it's the importance of exposure.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, I mean, and when you talk about the internet and what the internet has really done, it's exposure, right? I mean, you have exposure to anything. If I want to learn, I mean, Gangnam Style, right? Yeah. A Korean situation, a Korean pop star became huge because of the internet, not any other reason. And that's kind of what I'm talking about is like everyone, if I'm in India, I can know hip hop just by being on the internet. So
I
can,
have a cousin in India who plays death metal.
Right. Like that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you're a part, like, when we talk about cultural identities, when we talk about the overlapping cultural identities, it is, it's becoming very layered. Our culture, like our identities are becoming much more layered than they used to be because I can be somebody who it normally existed in a specific culture, but have access to a different culture, like death, like exactly what you're talking about. This goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, right? And I think this makes it clear for me.
Oh, we're going back to the beginning?
Jeez. No, hold up a second. Oh, but Jesus. Like these multi-layered identities are what's happening because, like you said, you have a cousin in India who plays or listens to death metal.
Plays and listens to.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah.
It's so interesting what that's going to mean for as like cultural identity and what that means. But from a standpoint of exposure, it was a beautiful thing because, look, her mom made the thing to say, hey, we're going to a cultural center. If she didn't go to that cultural center, she wouldn't have been exposed to her things to be able to do that. And that's the thing that I think is really beautiful. And like, I mean, that's the biggest thing I think I keep taking away from every interview is just the importance of that exposure plays a role in their development. Right. Yeah. I mean, it seemed interesting that like bullying is the biggest issue that our youth faces today, which is the same thing that we faced, but we just call it, it feels different now. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, my honest thinking is that they just don't have as many problems as we did, so this is the thing now. And maybe bullying it's gotten horrible. I don't know. I'm sure there's some extreme cases we see, and those are horrible, but like, I don't know, we're just going to completely stamp out bullying altogether.
Wait, is that the thing that we just, I mean, and, you know, I know it's been talked about a lot over the last couple of years, and I know it, but why is everyone acting like bullying just now is a thing? Like, bullying's, we just labeled it that, and we've just now had a movement around it, but that doesn't mean that it's been happening forever.
No, but now they're trying to do something about it. Whereas for us, it was like, hey, man, just fight the kid. I mean, fight the kid. Right. Don't tell your parents because they're going to go to the teacher, and then you're going to look like a snitch. You just got to fight the kid and get beat up. And me, I was usually good enough with my words that I didn't get beat up somehow. But, you know, it was just something
you
had to deal
with. I mean, I was bullied a lot. But it seems, I wonder if the bullying, and this is a question that I should have asked maybe, but I didn't think about it. The bullying when I was in was very racial. Like, I mean, and the bullying back, you know what I mean? Like, I was called poop face. I don't know if I've said that before.
I know.
It's
every time.
I know. It's just so brutal because like I called
kids
the
kids are
carrot.
So funny. That's comedic genius. I mean, oh my god, poop face.
Yeah,
but
when you're a kid, okay, I'm just gonna let you ride that out.
Yeah. Arjun is a poop face. Oh my god, it's too good. It got funnier this time. I know you said it to me before, but I think it was like in an interview, so I couldn't really laugh. But god damn, now that it's just us. Oh god, poop face. Brilliant. Honestly.
It just felt like such a disproportionate
response.
Because
you're brown, dog, like poop.
I get it. But like as a kid, I was like 7-year-old. You know what that means. Like that's a terrible association to have with the color of your skin.
For sure. It's also super funny when you get older.
When you're young, though, it was really. But anyway, I was curious if I'm curious if the bullying that they deal with, it seems to be more about sexuality. It seems like that is the. And someone I think reached out to us and said that like, for kids these days.
Diana
did?
Racism. This is the way we fought against racism. We're fighting against sexual discrimination.
Right. I mean. And I think that there's truth to that. I think that sexual orientation and sexuality rights are a big part of is the next movement of civil rights. But let's not pretend that the racial like equality has been found. Like we still are fighting that fight, which is my only qualm to that argument. Anyway, yeah, that was just an interesting thing that I wanted to talk about. But otherwise, I mean, it was fascinating. I'm grateful to her for being on our show and you know, being such a dope, you know, 18-year-old that, like, handled a lot of questions really, really impressively, truthfully.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Let's move to our community.
Yeah.
And we are starting with the Tweetverse, Twitterverse, or whatever it's called. First of all, I did last week talk about that we were going to talk about Sarah and Kimberly Brown, and then we didn't. They just had a whole tweet conversation about defining Akash as the, I don't even really remember it.
Basically, like, they were calling Arjun cute, and he was really eating it up. And that's really all that happened. And then something was said about me, and I, you know, hey.
It was like
the funniest thing that was. They said that you compliment Arjun and he enjoys it, and like he talks back, and then I just let it go. I couldn't care less, which is really kind of true. No disrespect, I appreciate the compliments. I just don't want to. I just feel awful and douchey being like, "Oh, thanks. You think I'm cute? That's awesome. I appreciate it." I mean, listen, you think I'm cute? I appreciate that silently. Arjun will just talk about it on air.
I'll just be like, "What's up? Everybody thinks I'm cute." Should we talk more about it?
It's great. All right. Let's get into real tweets about real things.
Tweets. All right.
Besides the fact that you're ugly and everyone pretends you're not.
I mean, it's amazing the pretending that they do. So tweets. We had Sarah and Kimber. And then we had Miss Shanaz came back. LOL, sigh. The kids of today will never know the troubles of dial-up. Listening to the first few minutes of American Daisies, I feel old.
Yeah.
Laughing my ass off. A lot of our people don't swim well. Too funny. And then she asks, quite a good question. How do we classify our parents?
Indian?
Yeah, I mean, Indian. Or where the country of their origin, you know? I mean, I think that, you know, I think that's usually. I'd be curious. I should ask my parents that. I didn't do that, but I wonder if they consider them. I know they have American citizenship. Both of them do. But I wonder if they consider themselves American at all. Like, I wonder if they would ever take that label on. Would your parents?
What, of American?
Yeah.
My mom might. My dad is Indian.
Yeah. Word. And then we had a dope tweet. Madhurita Sengupta, Miss Sengupta. Welcome back. She sent us an article, a Wall Street Journal article that happened August 11th. And in the headline is Why America's Top Technology Jobs Are Going to Indian Executives. And it's basically an article about – they talk about a cross-cultural study from Southern New Hampshire University that examined managers from the U.S. and India to see kind of why there's this shift happening. And the study found that more Indian managers achieved the highest rankings in terms of leadership traits. And this is an interesting thing that they pointed out. Indian managers are future-oriented and had a, quote-unquote, paradoxical blend of genuine personal humility and intense professional will. These leaders achieved extraordinary results and built great organizations without much hoopla. More starkly, now it goes on to talk about Microsoft as their big, you know, case study for this. Satya Nadella took over CEO. Made Silicon like Microsoft again. And he did so by embracing collaboration and not treating rival products as enemies. It's fascinating. That was their big takeaway. I mean, I think, and then they just talk about other Indian managers that are, you know, and how they've built themselves up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that was the big crux that I took away from the article. It's pretty fascinating to me. I love that we are being celebrated for creating a collaboration. I mean, I think that's a really interesting point. Do you have things you want to say before
I
say?
I was trying to figure out the humility thing. Humility with intense
focus. What about
focus.
The humility?
I don't know. I was just trying to figure out what that comes from. I mean, I know we're not allowed to really be happy with ourselves, so that's probably where the humility comes from.
You know, my mother always says this phrase that might – there's this belief, you know, where there is a will, there is a way.
Right.
There's this there seems to be this idea in the South Asian culture that we have control in that way, that we can make something happen, right? I don't know. I mean, I think that it's, you're right. We usually aren't allowed to be happy with ourselves, which is something I guess what's interesting is that I find that to be a very difficult thing for our community.
It hinders us, do you think?
I think it can. I think it can. But apparently, you know, it also is helping us. You know, yeah. It's helping this group of people. I think it's really cool talking about collaboration. One of my big issues with capitalism is the lack of that, lack of community orientation, and that it becomes very individual, like, you know, me above everyone else, you know? So it's kind of fascinating that these people from India are coming in and then merging capitalism with collaboration. I kind of love that, because I think if we could see more collaboration in capitalism, maybe things could be a little bit better, truthfully. So it's interesting that they're coming. And I wonder if, because India is such a community oriented place, like you're always deferring to your community. You know, you live with your family for a very long time. You're very aware of your elders. You're very aware that you can't do anything alone, because you can't in India. You just can't. I wonder if that makes a difference from that standpoint. I don't know, but it's interesting article for sure. And hey, we're killing it.
I mean, we out here.
Let's show love to Sundar Pichai. I don't know how you say his name. Do you know how to say his name?
No, I don't really know either. I just heard about this guy 2 days ago, so I don't.
Well,
really
he just got promoted. Yeah, but he's Google's new CEO, which is great.
We so out here.
It's kind of crazy. That's their tweets. We had some website stuff this week.
Yeah, we got a couple of emails. I think they're mainly coming at me. Let's get into it. There's something you want to... I mean, listen, I'm kind of been waiting. You guys should honestly enjoy this, too, because I care so much less than Arjun.
Gang Wars. Should I do the comment, Gang Wars and Body Hair?
Sure.
Hey, guys, just wanted to comment on the South Asian gang activity in Surrey. You didn't really solve why South Asian gangs exist in Canada, and it's not because of Bollywood romanticism or uneducated Indians, as Akash concluded. Vancouver, being a port city, has an influx of illegal drugs, weapons, and organized crime groups. Yes, even Punjabi gangs are involved. South Asian gangs exist not because of economic deprivation like other oppressed gangs, but out of certain social privilege, such as being from middle class backgrounds. This makes them unique among other criminal organizations. They have access to vehicles, cell phones, property. Young Brenmed will opt for efficient tax-free money / work over the alienation of underpaid wage labor. A young Punjabi male growing up in Surrey has a sense of powerlessness, living in a hierarchical family, going to school, pressure under... They always have an answer to someone else, yet gangs offer them illusions of... Okay, I'm going to stop because I'd love...
How dumb does that sound, huh?
Well, no, I don't know. Listen, who's to say that it's not true? I just need to know where he's getting any, or he or she. I actually don't know who.
Here's where I don't want to say it's dumb. I shouldn't. That was me trying to be funny. Let's be real. This doesn't make any sense to me, because Indians here are also from upper middle class backgrounds, and to opt for efficient tax free work over alienation of underpaid wage labor, we do that here. We take whatever job you give us. We're not committing crimes like that. We are from the same families. We have access to cell phones, which, by the way, poor people got too. And I just think you really made an issue complex. And I didn't say Indians in Canada were uneducated. I just said it's easier to get into Canada than America. And it is, at least earlier. I don't know now. No, actually, now I was in Toronto, and their solution to getting more people in Toronto was just letting everybody in.
They're
going to get people who aren't as cream of the crop as America. Not that they're dumb, but
and I'm gonna say this: if there's truth, and Rogan, honestly, if you have, you know, if you can cite us some sources where this is coming from, we'd love to, you know, love to hear that. But this would, I could have an understanding for people that go into that kind of activity based on economic need. But God help us if our community is doing this out of some, like...
laziness.
Not even laziness, like some desire for power. Go fuck yourselves. Everybody, let's... Sorry, I'm trying not to cuss as much. But come on. Really? Let's be better than that. There's no... like.
But you're
we're just
cussing
like,
at hypothetical people. You're cussing at people who don't even actually exist.
We don't know they do.
I don't know what the anger is for. Young brown men will offer efficient tax-free money work over the... Yeah, sure. So if we own a restaurant and someone pays cash, we won't put it on the books. That is a far cry from organized crime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be real about this.
The organized crime that we were talking about was also, you know, contract killing. So I don't understand. A young Punjabi male growing up in Surrey has a sense of powerlessness.
Hierarchical family structure, whatever that, the word is.
That exists everywhere.
That's every Indian family. The hierarchy is way crazier.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm following this comment. So please, if you have more to comment, clarify, please. We'd love to hear it.
All right. There's another caste system promotion. Is that the one?
Yeah, let's do caste system promotion.
All right, this is long.
Let me go ahead. Yeah, my name is Jisha. Oh, should I say that? Yeah, sure, why not? She's Malayali, Christian, and raised in the DMV.
What up, DMV? Shouts. Was just out there 2 weeks ago.
Word. I recall what's the DMV?
That's DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Okay. I was like, I'm not sure where that is.
Get more black friends, dog. Get more black friends.
I guess I need some more. That she had a couple, how it was important to find her husband belonging to the same caste. This is a long email, so I'm kind of just going to hit the high lows. How it was important to find her husband belonging to her same caste, which was Rajput. Just due to her desire to share and maintain specific cultural traditions with her significant other. However, I feel like equating the caste system with culture is a severe and dangerous misrepresentation. The caste system is a part of our culture, sure, but it is one, if not the most shameful, degrading, and horrific aspects of Indian culture that people should be ashamed of rather than promoting. I'm an Indian American in 2015, so it doesn't exist for me and should not for anyone else either. Recently, Akash also promoted a show that he was doing for Rana and made comments about how they're better than everyone else. I totally get that he was joking, but even by affiliated with this association that is purely based on caste, I know those comments came from a very real place, whether he realizes it or not. She's going to treading dangerous water right now.
Good jokes come from a fake place.
I'm sure the reason is part of being a kid, how I identify with my specific culture and doesn't hurt anyone. I'm just going to paraphrase. Here's my question. Here's the question that she's asking. By associating with Rajput and Rana, do you think that you are promoting the caste system?
No. And we had a talk actually the second day. There was like a function or something. We kind of talked about what it was to be Rajput, whatever. And the first generation people, or I guess the people who came from India, our parents, did really believe in it. But we were all just like, we don't care. Like, they were having talks like, I mean, this person is half Rajput. Do we let them come? And my exact talk was, this is dope because it ties us to India. And anything that ties us to India is great. Let's learn about where we come from. But we're not going to be, no one here cares about excluding people who aren't. If you're from another caste and you want to come through, sure, come through. I'm not going to learn about my history because they did some horrific things. I'll learn about that too. We are so removed from everything Indian. I will learn about all of it. She suggested some books. I hate reading, but I'll probably try to check them out at some point.
Suggest books? Sorry, I didn't get to the email.
I was scanning it and I saw some books about untouchables and stuff like that. And I'm sure it's terrible, but I'm not going to run away from that. I think this new generation just runs away from all the issues. Like, well, that joke comes from a real place, so it's not okay. No, that's what makes it funny. It comes from a real place. So let's learn about these real things. And when we go to these things, I promise you, we didn't look at other castes like, I didn't learn about any other castes or being worse than us or, you know what I mean? It's just like, hey, let's learn about where we come from. And I think there is a space for it. And that was
here's a question. Do you think that being Rajput is a part of your culture? Like, what makes being Rajput different?
It ties me to India more. It further anchors me to India. So that's why I wanted to learn about it, because it's what I am.
But see, that's the interesting thing, like defining yourself in that way. Why not just define yourself as Indian?
Come on this podcast and talked about my caste? We've been recording episodes since last July. How many times has it come up what my caste is?
Well, I mean, it actually mainly only came up in the ways that you were talking about exactly. when you're talking about Rana. But then, but
I'm for talking. I'm promoting a show I'm doing, and then I mentioned it once with the episode we did with Dushar, and that's about it. And then how many times have I talked about being South Asian? 1,000, 100,000. Right. So it's not how I define. I define myself as South Asian first, but within that, like we talked about, micro communities that Dr. Sony talked about. This is a part of who I am. Also, this is a part of my South Asian identity. That this is the caste in Hinduism. The caste system wasn't created so other people could suffer. Humans messed it up. Not to say we need to go back to whatever, but the idea of it wasn't, hey, these people are awful. They're going to do this. These people are. It was. This is the easiest way to get things done as a division of labor. So these are things we can learn about, and this is what I am, and it's fine. I don't look down on anybody else. I'll make jokes about it because why wouldn't I? I'm a comedian, but this is who we are. I'm not running from that.
I mean, that's an interesting point. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the other things, the Neetu's point about, is it important to you to marry someone that's Rajput?
It is not to me. Now, it will make things, if I meet a cute girl who is Rajput, in my mind, I'm like, all right, well, this will be easier for everybody in India to just not even have to deal with this. But I'm not choosing girls. Listen, you've met girls I've talked to. I've never even asked the cast.
For sure.
It never came up.
But it was important to Neetu.
Yeah, probably also for the same reason of her parents. It's just like, okay. Why deal with all this?
The reason that this
she
is
ended
all...
up marrying a South Indian who wasn't.
Right. Fair. That's a good point. I think it's important. I guess why I'm asking what, and I'm stepping away from the email in my questions is simply because, you know, I didn't even know what caste that was growing up. I still don't really know.
I said this at the convention. If we are basically the old white people at the country club.
Who
relative is? relative to the other castes. That's what we are. And old white people at a country club hold on to that. Now, we don't care. The younger generation, the old white people's grandkids probably don't really care. And that's how we feel. We're just like, listen, you guys sound ridiculous because you don't want to let half Rajputs into this thing. That's crazy. We right. don't care.
But I think but that I, it's a good, but I think this is an important conversation, though.
I understand why they hold on to it because they were privileged. But like we come here, and this is something I always say: there's not enough of us to subdivide, so we don't care. I see an Indian or a Bangladeshi or whatever. That's my people.
Yeah. Do you think that? I mean, how do you feel about the caste system? And would you like it to be gone?
Sure, it is. It was a thing that in practice, I guess I understand why they thought it would be a good idea, but humans were not capable of carrying that out properly. And yeah, it shouldn't be a thing. Now, I don't disassociate with my caste because, like, I don't hate it like that. I understand where it came from or why it was created. I am from a certain caste. That's cool. That's how I feel about it.
Cool. No, I mean, I think that gives a more nuanced view of what you were saying than maybe people could have. People,
but I don't listen. If I'm clearly joking, I hate when people are like, "But that joke comes from a real place." That's why it's funny. Jokes from a fake place are superficially funny, and you laugh, and it's cute and cool. But if we really, as just a comedian speaking, the great comedians are not the guys who are Dimitri Martin drawing on notebooks. That's cool. That's fine. That's cute. I'm done with that. George Carlin is a great comedian. He went at everything. Matter of fact, the religious people hate George Carlin the way you hate a guy like, not me, but a guy who just constantly talks and says jokes like I just said. You're not any different than the guys who told Lenny Bruce he couldn't cuss in a comedy club and threw him in jail. It's the same thing. It just attacks your ideals this time. That doesn't make it bad all of a sudden.
I'm going to be honest, I kind of lost where you went with that.
This whole idea that jokes can't come from a real place because they're offensive, that's the greatest jokes.
No, I don't think that's what she was saying. I think that she was saying that because it's coming, because you joked about it being like that we're better. I think what she was saying is that you actually believe that you're better than because it's coming from, because she knows that jokes come from a real place.
Have I ever asked you what your caste is?
Me? No.
Never. Never come up. I don't care. It doesn't cross my mind unless it is brought to my
Hold on a second. But I think that that's the thing I'm trying to clarify for you is by what she's saying. She's not saying that she was just saying she agrees with you that jokes come from a real place. She agrees with you.
Yeah, the real place is that there are people who think they're better than because they're Rajput. That's the real place. It's
so
not
that's,
me thinking
right.
I'm better than. And that's why I asked you
and that's
I
what
ever
you're
asked
clarifying.
You what your caste is because I couldn't care less.
I'm clarifying. I'm playing the mediator between an email and you apparently in this moment. But that's what I'm clarifying. Is she actually agrees, and she didn't understand that what you meant was that the real place wasn't your real place, but a real place that exists in the world. And sure. I think that that's an important distinction. Because a lot of people don't know that about jokes, right? Because a lot of people agree with that idea that, like, yo, jokes come from a real place. And so they'll assume, oh, that's really what that person thinks. And that's not necessarily true.
I guess.
It's not necessarily, I mean, just how you define it, it's just not necessarily true. Anyway, let's move on to Swag, Swagistani, who, by the way, probably MVP lately. MVP, man. This man just emails mad information to us. And I just don't know where he has the time to do all this. Frankly, he should just come on and be a guest for a little bit.
Yeah.
Those street signs, first of all, he goes back to a couple things I said a couple weeks ago about the street signs in that were in Hindi. They're not. They're actually in Gurmukhi, which I don't know what that is. Of all immigrant languages spoken in Greater Vancouver, Punjabi accounts for 18%, in Hindi 3%. That's interesting. And then he also he sent us more information about this gang violence. It's actually 17 deaths since 2010. That's no joke. He sends a couple books suggestions.
17 deaths in 5 years? I am underwhelmed.
Due to gang violence.
I mean, listen, that is 3 deaths a year. Bro, we're good.
Okay, I guess that feels like a lot. I'm just going to, you know, little book suggestion. They See Hoop Dreams, Pick Up Basketball, and the Making of Asian American Identity. Huh. That's right up our alley.
Wait, what? Yeah, go ahead. Read that.
No, this is the title of the book that he suggested, and I'm not suggesting it to the whole community. They See Hoop Dreams, Pick Up Basketball, and the Making of Asian American Identity.
That sounds dope.
Anyway, we've come up at our time for today, so we should sign off and bid y'all adieu. Thank you for listening. You know, on Monday we're gonna come back with another dope episode as always. Actually, wait, is this one we're re-releasing?
Yeah, Monday's a re-release. Word.
So what we're gonna do is, as you guys know, some of y'all know, we started this podcast as Indian Comma American back in December, and since we rebranded, there's a lot of new listeners who haven't gotten to listen to some of our old stuff. So what we decided to do is, once a month, we're gonna start re-releasing some of that old content so that it can be shared. And what we're gonna do is, back then we didn't allow the community to kind of speak about it. We didn't think of that as an idea. So what we're gonna do is, we're gonna release the interview on Monday, just like we do. You guys are going to have an opportunity to speak about it, and then we'll jump back in Thursday to talk about it and how we feel about it now, nine months down the line, and see what's good. So look out for that. We're really excited for you guys to get to check out some of this dope content that we have. And yeah, I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
Catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.